Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. LibertyTalk.fm.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I think we continue in the same messy pattern that we have seen for months, and that is nothing. We're doing nothing. We're going there, but we're getting there quickly. Okay, you know, as we look at the overall market and we look at what's going on, and basically, where are we? We're just in one major consolidation formula. We're not seeing any major movement. All we are seeing is the markets churn and revert around the mean back and forth, which has caused volatility to go into the deep freeze, looking like it's going to make new lows once again. We are now, you know, working our way into just the ridiculous and the sublime. Okay, there is nothing going on here right now, volatility wise. It is just a total meltdown of volatility, and of course, hey, that, you know, that's part of trading, and that's where you have to learn how to put yourself in that best position and know when to and know when that you can work your way into a better situation. Excuse me. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, again, so you don't want to get too overly involved here. You want to sit back and wait for opportunities, because in the market, in investing, it's about waiting for the opportunity. If you think that you can outsmart or outguess this market, think again. It does not happen. We cannot do it. If we think we can, all we are doing is putting ourselves into a position of gambling. And again, we know that we are taking risk. Okay, that is a without saying, we have risk at all times. That anytime you invest in anything, there is a risk. There's no guarantees. There's no inside information that's going to prevent that risk, you know. And if you don't think so, just go back to what Martha Stewart went to jail for. Basically, she was averting risk, but of course, the stock that she got out of and went to jail for only went up by 150% or 200% from when she got out. That was her inside information. So, you know, it's about reading the footprint of the market. It is about taking a look at what is happening. And right now, there is nothing happening. So you cannot and should not think that you know more than what is going to happen here. Because, again, for every reason you can tell me the market should go down, I can give you a reason for it to go up. Or for every reason you can tell me the market should go up, I could give you a reason as to why it should go down, which is simply why we have a market reverting around the mean, holding into this very tight, well, it's not so tight. I shouldn't say tight, but into this consolidation range. Because basically, it's 2,000 S&P to 2,100 S&P. Now, we've gone a little bit lower and we've gone a little bit higher, but basically, 90% of the action stays in there, okay? And, you know, you have to look at, you know, what is happening, where the markets are going to lead you. And right now, it appears not only most of the markets, but a lot of the general stocks are just, they run up to a spot and then they sell off. They come down to a spot and then they rally. And we've seen this movie over and over and over again. Now, I can assure you that at some point we will break out. But the problem is nobody knows when. Not even the shadow knows when we're going to break out of this ridiculous range. So as that happens, volatility continues to collapse. comfortability, you know, the complacency continues to build in, and traders, investors continue to pour into selling puts, trying to take advantage of the overall market. And that is what, you know, we know, and we talk about it often here, that there is no free lunch and there is nothing that is for certain. But we do know right now that the market is certainly in a major state of consolidation with no regard, no regret, no fear. And it could stay here for extended periods of time. There is no timetable as to when the market has to react. There is nobody out there telling you that it has to happen by this date. You know, the one thing about the markets is they don't know what day it is. All they know is that somebody flips a switch and people trade it, and then somebody turns the switch off and they stop trading it. And then the next day they rinse and repeat, do the same thing like a washing machine. And they do that 5 days a week, almost every week, 241 days a year. So if you think that you are going to outsmart or outthink a machine that never gets tired, never gets sick, and is always there, think again, because you will not. This is a perfect example of how challenging markets can be and how we can try to interpret the news. And this is what happens when people try to interpret news, okay, in their mind. In other words, I want to be bearish, so I'm going to selectively listen to only what's bearish or what I think should drive the market down. Now, we know that that is not typical, right? Because markets already know how to price in the news. The markets already know what's going on. Traders are anticipating this news because the flow of information in today's world is so quick that we can basically make some sort of calculation, some sort of view that says, oh yeah, this is exactly what's going to happen. And so basically what you're seeing is a market and markets that assume the news. And if we assume the news, then we know exactly what to expect or what the market expects. So when you get involved in market expectation and you try to outsmart market expectation, typically you go home wounded with your tail between your legs because, once again, you took on the big guy, and the big guy is an imaginary figure of the market. But typically you will find out that you must wait for footprints to lay in front of you. You must look for that map to guide you. And a part of the clues of the map are volume, volatility, and we have neither. Okay? We have neither volume or volatility in this market today. And it will come back. Yeah, I'm pretty confident that we will once again see it. But until we do see that, it will continue to be a very challenging, decrepit, declining in action market. And that is something that you, the trader, investor, has to deal with. And if you deal with that properly, you will find out that you will be a lot happier at the end of the day because you have put yourself in a position of being successful versus into a position of only potential failure. So, and that is one of the things for the new Bubba Report. We have now put together a series of a newsletter that has a series of my own, the Bubba, exclusive indexes, proprietary indexes. And we would love for you to check it out and join up. We have a $99 a year for a minimum of 12 issues of our newsletter, but it could be more. We may break the indexes into weekly, but you will get a minimum of 12 issues of this. All I have to do is email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a hold of that. And while you're doing that, check out thebubbashow.org because there's a lot of great articles there as well. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and as always, I have my friend and one of the best in the business, Lila Max Media, Ka-Ching Report, Jane King. Welcome aboard, Jane. How you doing?
I'm good. Having a good week. It's been a busy week. I'm on Apple Watch Watch. So, sorry, I just had to say it.
That's
anyway, it's been a good week.
What do you think of the Apple Watch Watch? What do you think of the Apple Watch in general? What's your take?
Well, I'm not going to go buy one. I have an iPhone. I have a Mac. I have an iPad. I love my Apple product. I think it's a great company, but I just don't need another gadget. I actually don't even wear a watch anymore. So, you know, and I don't have a compelling reason to really go buy one. I feel like I have everything I need with my phone and my laptop and everything else. So it'll be interesting. Watching the sale and how they're going about this, you know, by appointment, and it just feels a little, I don't know, kind of arrogant maybe, but we'll see. We'll see how sales go for them. I mean, people who have got a sneak preview of them say it's beautifully constructed, and they think sales will be strong, so we'll see what happens.
I'm sure they'll be strong. I mean, they made it into an event, which is what Apple does, and of course that's fine. There's not a issue. I don't have an issue with that. But you know, in today's world, you don't need a watch. I mean, I only wear a watch out of habit because if I, you know, I can't tell you the last time I looked at my watch to see what time was. I look at my phone, right?
So do I. I mean, I always look at my phone, and I have heard some females say that they're tired of digging for their phones and their bags, and maybe a watch would be better, but it looks kind of big and bulky to me, so I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of split on it. I don't feel a need to go get one. What I did with the smartphone, like as soon as the smartphones came out, I was like, I want one of those. I just loved everything it did. I loved the way it looked. I loved the way it combined Facebook and all these apps, and they were just new and fascinating. And I don't feel the same way with the watch, but we will see.
Hey, you know what? And I'm leaving Apple. I don't like Apple anymore, so I'm moving on. I'm going to Samsung. I'm getting the Edge.
Well, they have a product out today too, the Curve smartphone. So right. Not getting a lot of attention, obviously. But
well, why would they? It's not. They're not. They're not Apple. But of course, what is getting a lot of attention is the. You know, the opening up of the China ability to trade. And have you been watching what's going on with some of these Chinese ADRs and some of these Chinese stocks this week?
Well, I know that they've been hitting record highs. So, which I don't know if we talked about this before, but my kid's college money is in Chinese stocks. It's in the Matthews China Fund, which I bought for them way before they were even born. So, because I knew college was going to be very expensive. So it's good for me. But I've also been hearing, and I've been hearing for a couple of years, but I've kind of heard renewed talk this week of people who've been there to China. And they say that there's empty buildings, there's cities where hardly anybody's there, there's cranes just standing still, not doing anything, and they're really worried about, especially real estate in China. So it's a little scary. Of course, you know, there's a lot of talk about China's going to be, you know, this was the century of China, as like last century was the century of the United States. And we went through some tough times during that century as well. So it doesn't mean China is not a long-term bullish place to be. But some anecdotal reports cause you a little pause.
Well, I will say this. This is going to be my prediction. You're going to be the first one to hear this, Jane King.
Okay. I'm writing it down.
You can write it down. China, this move in China the last week. Now, I'm not saying they're not going to be good. Again, remember, I'm a bear right now, but it doesn't mean that I don't own long-term equities, and it doesn't mean that I'm not benefiting from the markets that are going up, okay? But a short-term as a trader, I'm very bearish. And the markets, in my opinion, are waiting for a reason to break in this period. Again, I'm not looking for the end of the world. You know, I'm not a gloom and doom. The world is coming to an end, right? Chicken little, the world's coming on. No, we're not doing that. But as far as this current bull run, the activity that's going on in China now, this will be the top of the markets for now. Okay, now it could last another couple of days, another couple of weeks. I can't tell you when. But with what's going on in China, they are buying. It is to watch what's going on in some of the Chinese stocks. Sina, which is the Chinese part of the Chinese Twitter, is up 25% mm-hmm. since this week. Baidu is up 10% this week. Baba is going crazy. Qihu, whatever they call it, that company is going crazy. They're all going crazy because, you know, China's opening. They're opening 10,000 retail accounts a day right now. And I'm predicting that this will be the end of the bull run for now. And again, you mentioned the Chinese housing. They call them the hidden cities. You know, one of the problems with the way that the Asians do bookkeeping in Japan did this is they, if it's a loser, they market it the value they paid for it. And if it's a winner, they put the profit on their books. So it, their books always look good. But, you know, hey, we've got a market that's been strong. We've got a dollar that's unbelievably strong. And, of course, you know, I'm kind of interesting the way that the euro currency had that big rally last week and now is again come down and is going to, it looks like it's going to test the lows of recent vintage again. What are you thinking?
Yeah, well, and one thing I noticed, too, and I think this is all kind of interrelated this week, is gold. You know, we're starting to hear some people say gold to the bottom. It could have a nice little string of gains from 2016 to 2020. That could be supportive of gold. And, I mean, we've seen the currency, especially dollar, just be so strong. And maybe we're due for kind of a reversal of this action that we've seen. Dollar strong, gold getting beaten up, commodities getting beaten up, China rallying, and so, you know, prepare. Always be prepared. That's good advice.
That's what I always say. And so, have you talked home to Indiana since the crop report? Any word from your family on what's going on there?
Well, I still keep in touch with like a lot of farmers there too, and in Illinois as well. And you know, they say that historically yields are down about 10% after a record year, which is what we had last year. Of course, we're looking possibly again at a record soybean crop this year, where corn's been down a little bit. They tell me that wheat acres are struggling a little bit. Of course, they had this storm that went through Illinois yesterday that may have disrupted planting or at least delayed it again. Cash rents, they say, still are hanging in there, at least in central Illinois. They haven't budged much. So it looks steady, kind of steady for the agriculture industry right now. Not a lot of movement either way. Of course, as you know, it all depends on the weather and how planting goes. That's what's really going to move the markets. So there's a problem there.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, I'm very bullish the commodity space, especially the grains. I think that they've taken every shot they can take. They've done everything. Everything has been wrong. If you're a farmer right now, you know, the yield was too big. They've got too much in storage. The dollar is way too strong, which prevents, you know, exports. Every reason. And of course, we really haven't gotten killed. We're down. And of course, farmers aren't happy at the moment. But, you know, that too will change. And I think that we'll see, you know, we can only see in my eyes some bad news for you know, the consumer, because we could see, you know, weather that could change. I mean, you know, one thing about when you're dealing in a commodity, anything can happen between now and the time it's supposed to harvest. So we, you know, there could be a million things to happen between now and the in harvest season, could it not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and it really, I mean, you can do planning intention reports and, you know, and things like this, and they're valuable and useful, but it really all comes down to weather. And, I mean, it's still, you know, I mean, the weather has been around forever, and it continues to be the main mover in the commodity market. So, you know, if we can have a wet spring, I mean, that will change the mix-up between corn and soybeans. We have a hot, dry summer right at pollination time, and that could really change things with corn. So, really comes down to that.
Are you seeing, I think we talked about this last week for a minute, what's the real estate market looking like in New York right now? Have you seen anything different? Does it look like it might be weakening a little bit?
I haven't really seen much of a change. Now, I haven't investigated it thoroughly either, but it seems like it's been kind of steady. I mean, I haven't seen, you know, we're certainly not seeing the growth in New York that we're seeing out west. I mean, Denver's home prices are having the biggest price gains in the nation. You know, we've seen, you know, Utah. I mean, some of these western states are really looking strong housing-wise right now, Arizona. New York's not really like that. I mean, what you have here is always these foreigners that look for prime real estate in New York, and that continues to support the market.
Right, and that's my concern for New York is that, you know, now, I mean, foreigners are now paying, you know, a 30 to 40% premium to what they were paying last year just on the value of the dollar. So that might be something that causes a little grief. What do you think?
Well, if the dollar changes, I mean, that could certainly be something that would impact them. But these are people that come in and buy $40 million $20 million apartments with cash. So maybe they're protected a little bit. But, you know, they want some New York real estate, and maybe it's got a little bit of emotional prestige appeal to it as well.
They don't care. You're paying $40 million, so if you pay $42, it's not that big a deal. Jane King, you are awesome. And make sure you find out where Jane King airs in your neighborhood, because I'll tell you something, you'll never have more fun than watching somebody like Jane, who knows the business as well as anybody. Jane King, thank you so very much for being here.
Thanks, Todd. We'll talk to you soon.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
So soft, sweet on the tip of my tongue. You taste like sunlight and strawberry bubblegum.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and you know what, markets with nothing going on and nothing in the world, and of course everything is safe, there is no fear, nothing is going to ever go wrong in this economy ever again, because the VIX keeps telling us and the markets keep telling us that there's no problem. But I have to go to my man the Badger, who has seen this movie before. What's up, Badger?
Hey, well, certainly not the VIX. You know, we just we talk about this all the time, Bubba. A lot of times when you get this kind of, you know, what's the saying? You never sell a dull market.
You never sell a dull market, right?
And what we're seeing here now is the markets are just drifting back up toward those upper levels again. You know, it just, it's amazing, I know. But we went down, made that small bottom. We're in this tight congestion now for 6 months. And on no news, we're drifting higher. In fact, the Russell's almost back up to its all-time highs again.
It is amazing. And, of course, you know, you just look and you see what's going on. And you know, it's unfathomable that the markets could be here. But this is why we always preach. It has nothing to do with what's going on. It has nothing to do with the economy. It has nothing to do with the news. It has to do with the technicals of the market. Right now, the markets are telling you that they don't want to go down right now. They have no reason to go down right now. What do you think?
No, there is no reason for them to go down. I mean, you look at the markets in Europe and Asia, right? The Stock 600 this past week just made all-time highs, finally taking out the highs from the bubble, the internet bubble in 2000. The Chinese and Japanese market just made 15-year highs. You know, they've got the QE programs in there, squeezing it out, just making those interest rates so that you can't buy interest rates. You just can't do it. There's no return on it. So you're better off taking risks. So from that point of view, the central banks are getting accomplished what they want to do, right? Because they are shifting it. And this is what we talk about, and this is what we don't know the result will be. They are shifting monies into risky assets. And those risky assets are the equities. And so as they shift the money over, the question is, and this gets back to if you believe in a Keynesian economic theory or you don't believe in that, you believe in a free market, as we shift those assets over into equities and equities create wealth, then theoretically we should be able to recover the amounts of money that were spent by increased taxes. And it doesn't mean you have to increase the tax level, but the increased taxes, the revenues coming in from that extra wealth, then pays for the deal. Now, has that ever worked before? Well, we've never been in this position before, frankly. You know, this is the first time that anybody other than Japan, when they tried it 25 years ago, which was a dismal failure, but that had a lot to do with some other factors. You know, is this going to work? You know, how does the Fed get out of this? As you know, I said one of the ways the Fed gets out of it is they just let it mature. They just simply let the bonds mature. They control short-term interest rates, and they let the long-term bonds mature as they come up to 10, 20, 30 years. So it takes 30 years to get out of it. The problem with that solution, as we both know, is what about if something happens in between? There's simply no bullets left in the chamber. What are they going to do then? Then you've got unbelievable mess. I have no idea the solution. Frankly, I doubt that most economists in the world have any idea what's going to happen if we get a reload where they have to, they still have all this money out there and they try to pump up the prime the pump again. I don't know how you do that.
Well, I mean, again, I'm on record, and I will continue to be on record to see that they did a lousy job with this whole situation, and they've totally dropped the ball. I cannot see anywhere in my wildest dreams that this can have a happy ending. I just, again, you know, we talk about it ad nauseum, but I cannot see a happy ending. I've seen too many movies that are similar to this, not this one, because they're always a little bit different, but they always end up the same. And you're pouring, you know, I heard experts talking about, well, you got to be buying cheap protection here, you know, buy the VXX. And to me, the VXX is the most crooked product in the world. And I don't care if they come after me or not. It's a ETF that's leveraged that continues to go down every day and making new lows every single day, and every time it gets low enough, they reverse split it and push it back up again so it can tank again, just like an option. You know, there is no such thing as cheap protection. I mean, I don't know why people can say that. There is nothing that's cheap that they're talking about. And to me, that always pisses me off as an options guy and as a trader. There's many ways to protect your portfolio, but buying a cheap piece of crap ETF or buying a put is not the way that I would go about it. What about you?
No, that's not the way I would hedge things. But, you know, we use a little more advanced strategy to hedge positions like this. There is protection out there. It's not necessarily cheap, but you have to use a combination of options positions, which most people, frankly, aren't going to do. I mean, they're not going to take the time and effort that's necessary to protect their portfolio.
Well, that we understand. That we understand, and that more than anything else creates what eventually creates the popping of the bubble because they're not protected because they did nothing. What happens? Well, then there's a race to the door. Is there not usually?
Nobody can get out the door once the fire starts, Bubba. You and I both know that. It's been proven. We've seen it for 35, 40 years. Every time everybody says, well, I'll just simply wait until I see what's happening. It's too late. When you finally see it's happening, all the professionals are out the door. I can tell you right now, you know it. You've been there. We've been there. We know what happens. And the ones left holding the bag just simply get clubbed. There's no way to get out that door. You know it. So if you don't plan, it's too late. By the time you realize it, you go, oh, should have covered those. It's too late. And think about all these guys selling all these puts to enhance yield. Nothing wrong with that, but there's better strategies than just selling puts to enhance yield. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I hear things, and I hear, so here's what else I hear. I hear, well, we're going to ride it out, and no matter what happens, and we're going to buy these protected dividend stocks because that'll cover any problem that we're going to have. And I go, really? Geez, let me see. If I'm getting a 3% yield in the market and my stock drops 20%, how did I do? How's my yield? How's my 3% doing for me? I mean,
3% it doesn't do very well, as you well know. And that there is a defensive maneuver that people can try that. And it does work to a certain degree. So when the stock market goes down 40%, you only lose 20%. Unfortunately, when it goes back up to 40%, you barely get your 20% back. So you sit in a cycle for 6 years and you end up getting 1% on your money. I mean, there's all magic ways in order to avoid risk. But the truth of the matter is, unless you're willing to take the time, study the markets, and understand how to put positions on, there's no real way to do it.
You know, again, I just find it, you know, so deflating when I listen to people, because you know what the truth is you're saying it exactly right. Most people don't understand it. But the problem is the people that should understand it don't understand it either. And that is what bothers me, because, you know, there's a lot of innocent people, especially in today's market, because they're being forced into the stock market because in lack of anyplace else to go, right? I mean, so they're being forced sure. into the market. And, of course, we all know when you are forced into something, that typically doesn't have a great ending either, because you're really in some place you don't want to be. And we've all been there in anywhere in your life where you've been somewhere you don't want to be, and the ending there is typically not happy either. And that's my problem. Again, I don't have any problem with the market go up. The market can go up forever, but at some point it's not going to go up, and it could be a year, it could be a week, it could be tomorrow. I can't tell you. I can never tell you when it's going to be ugly, but I can say with 100% certainty that at some point, again, in my lifetime, it will get very ugly. What do you think?
I would say yes. I would say that it's almost a certainty that it will get ugly. We've seen this now. In the 37 years I've been involved, I've seen four gigantic moves to the downside. Of course, I've seen a lot of bull markets, and over that time, the markets have gained. And we talk about that. The probabilities are higher that it'll gain, but you know, what do? You know, when a market goes down by 50%, it's got to go up by 100 to get back even. So if you bought the absolute bottom of the market, sure. But if you had bought the top and then added to it at the bottom, it still took you a long time just to get back even. That always assumes that you have the money of Warren Buffett, and people forget Bubba. Buffett took a horrific beating in 2008. He lost 40% of his entire portfolio.
No, I everybody, they love to glamorize all these guys. And listen, there's nothing wrong with this. He's got a lot of money. He's one of the smartest guys in the world based on what he does and his strategy. And every deal he gets into, he don't get into any bad deals, okay? He might lose money, but going
in... he might, exactly. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah, he doesn't get in bad deals. He might lose money. Everybody loses money in this business. Come on.
Right. There's never 100% guarantee that you're going to win in every trade. So we know he makes bad deals. I mean, you know, how many people do you know that can buy Goldman Sachs at 140 and watch it go to 35 and not have to sell a share?
Well, no. of course, we don't know anybody. But the chances of ever meeting somebody that can have that happen are also very slim, as you well know.
Right.
So, I agree with you 100%. Right now, we're just drifting higher. We're probably going to go up and make new highs again. I mean, the Russell's so close now. I mean, all it has to do is breathe, and it's going to make a new high.
Well, that's what I thought. I mean, I did think that as well. I mean, originally, my original game plan was that the NASDAQ was going to go out and take out the all-time high, and that would be the top of the market. But then the NASDAQ fell apart under 5,000 and is still fighting to get back to 5,000. But the Russell is close. You know, it's really a cat-and-mouse game. But the real problem is, and we're going to talk about this later, but the real problem is that volume and volatility are drying up, and the markets are drying up, and our free market capitalistic system is drying up. But it is what it is. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm with the Badger, and the Badger and I want to invite you to check out our new newsletter. $99 a year gets you 12 or issues or more as we continue to make it better for you. But it has the Bubba proprietary indexes, as well as writing from the Badger, myself, Scott Shalady, Keith Bliss, Anthem Blanchard, and others, Mike Brown, and we want to make sure you get to check it out. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be back, right back after the break. The Bubba Show. 10 miles from town, and I just broke. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And I did a deal with Kim Parley from Money Talk out of Canada, and I wanted to share that with you. So let's get right to Kim Parley right now in Toronto.
The following paid commercial program is brought to you by TD Wealth.
Tonight, when it comes to investing, many people think options are riskier than stocks. But some say if used correctly, you can actually reduce your risk. Todd Horowitz, chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com, will show you how to use options to hedge your long-term portfolio. And later, we'll take a spin around the world to gauge the health of the major economies. We'll make stops in Europe, China, the United States. Then we'll bring it home to Canada with a look at the impact of the oil price shock and what it means for real estate and the economy. Craig Alexander, Chief Economist at TD Bank, will be the guide on this world tour. That's all coming up on Money Talk.
Welcome to the show. I'm Kim Parley. And one of the goals of this show is to help you, the investor at home, better understand what's going on in the markets and how to invest and trade on said information. So let's start things off tonight with veteran options trader Todd Horowitz, chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. I spoke to him earlier and started off by asking him what he thought of the super oil merger between Shell and BG that was announced today.
Well, you know, I think we've seen a lot more of these mergers. I think it's probably a good fit, gas with natural gas. I think it works well. But remember, money is so cheap right now, it makes a lot of these deals possible. You know, when you're using American dollars now that have gained a tremendous amount of that value, it makes the foreign purchase a cheaper buy. So they're getting a bargain at the same time while creating one of the biggest acquisitions in the oil sector ever. So again, it's a good fit, it's a good deal, but it's been made possible by our Federal Reserve.
But that would make sense that it's going to make a whole lot of other things possible. I mean, the dollar is still strong, oil prices still low. Could this be the trigger for more merger activity coming really quickly?
You know, I think they've really done a bad job, and I think the Fed has really realized that they've painted themselves into a corner here, and they really don't know how to get out. So they're continuing to try to push it down a little bit farther and say, you know what, maybe we can get out, maybe we can't, but the real solution is they have to raise rates. But if they raise rates, that makes our dollar even stronger. It creates a lot more problems. But I believe that that's what they need to do. They need to rip the Band-Aid off and say, look, we're going to take the beating, let the markets collapse, let the economy have a problem. But in the long term, it'd be much healthier. And then things would get back to normal. But right now, we're way out of whack.
Now, you've been calling that for a while, Todd. You've been calling for some sort of a significant market correction. Do you think it's going to happen when the Feds do raise rates? I mean, are you thinking it's going to happen in the next 6 months, year, 18 months?
It's hard to time when we're going to get the correction, but it's definitely coming. You know, mathematically, they always come, right? It doesn't matter. We can't decide when. It'll be some sort of event. And I don't know if it'll be the Fed. It may be something else. Now, we've seen a lot of action the last couple of days that's been very strange. Bonds have been extremely volatile, which is unusual, and the stock markets have had no volatility. Something's working underneath the surface, and there'll be something that will trigger the selling. It could be the Fed, but I think it'll be something we're not even familiar with right now.
Let me ask you, again, you've been calling for a correction for a while. So if somebody's sitting and listening and think, okay, I am a buy and hold investor. I'm holding a stock. I don't really want to sell it right now because, you know, things are actually still going up. But how do I protect myself from the correction that you're talking about? And you've got some strategies for us.
You know, that's a great question, Kim. You know, a lot of people, and I don't ever advocate selling, and I own long-term stocks too. I'm bearish as a trader. I'm not bearish as an investor because I want the market to compound. But, you know, when we look at the market, we go, you know, we've made a lot of money if you've been in, and there's got to be a way to protect yourself. And I'm an options trader by trade, and I think there's some great option strategies. And I know people think that options are a little bit complicated, but they're actually very simple. The option itself is part of the stock. It's derived from the stock. And what you look is you have puts and calls, and a put is the opportunity to sell, and the call is the opportunity to buy. And what we do is we work on some strategies to put that together where we can actually put a protective strategy around a stock you own or an entire portfolio. And the question I like to ask people is, if I could show you how to protect your entire portfolio today, where you could never lose one more dollar and you wouldn't have to sell your stock, yet if the market continued to go up, you would benefit from the market going up. Would you be interested? And of course, the answer is yes. And by using an option strategy, and what we call it is we just call it a broken wing butterfly, believe it or not. But it's a strategy that's used where we're going to go out in time, like a quarter, and we're going to buy a put spread. And so what we're doing is we're going to buy one put that gives us the right to sell the stock, and we're going to sell one put that puts us in obligation, and then we're going to buy one additional. So we're putting out what we call a 1-by-2, giving us protection to the downside. So if the market collapses from there, we get stopped out at a certain point, we still hold the stock, but then our extra put kicks in, and then we make money.
Okay, just back up for one second. Back up for one second. Sure. Let's use a stock as an example, because I think a lot of people, again, they literally hear the word put and they glaze over. I've seen them when they do this. Tell me in theory what you're doing. In theory, what you're doing with a stock, say Google, what are you trying to do?
In theory, in Google, I own Google. Let's say I bought it at 400 and now it's 540 today. Okay, and I've made $140, and I don't want to get rid of it. A, I don't want to pay the taxes. B, it's still going up. So how do I protect that? By using an option strategy, okay, and a put option, let's just give the formal definition. The put option gives the buyer the right, but not the obligation, to sell a stock at a certain price at a certain time. So what we do is we use a put option because many people in the news, they talk about cheap options and cheap puts. Well, the truth is, when you're buying options, if you're just buying them to protect, if anybody's ever done covered calls or they've done what they call a married put or anything like that, those are very bad strategies for continuation of yield and growth. So what we like to do is we like to put a combination together for everybody. And again, it's in 5 minutes, it's a little hard to explain it all. But what it really does is it puts a collar around the stock so that they've hedged at a certain price, very much like the airlines do with oil. They buy oil in the open market knowing that it costs them so much to fly, so they know what they can make. So if I can tell you that we can lock Google in at $540, then you're going to be happy knowing that it can't go down. So for that right, you have to worry about, what if it goes straight up, what happens? Well, if it goes straight up, you make almost dollar for dollar like you were in the stock to begin with. But one of the things we do is we also do a little bit of work on top of the stock. And I won't get into it tonight, but we do some work in the top of stock, and we make a little combination of a trade that actually can enhance yield and make dollar for dollar with the stock and protect you to downside. So if tomorrow morning you wake up and Google's at 400, you didn't lose money. You might have even made money.
Let me ask you, I mean, I'm hearing more and more of people talking to people about, you know, getting into options and figure out ways to protect and leverage their portfolio. Do you think retail investors are really starting to dip their toes in that water?
Retail has not yet, because as you said, people get glazed over because, unfortunately, the option model is taught very complicated because most people don't understand it, so they want to go through all the fancy terms. Options are just like a stock, okay? When you look at an option, you look at it, if it's trading $3, it's like a $3 stock. That's what you want to think about, is you're buying a $3 stock or you're selling a $3 stock, and then it makes it easier. You don't want to get involved with all these fancy terms where they talk about Vega and all these terms that confuse me, and I've been doing it for 35 years. Mm-hmm. So what you want to do is, if you look at it very basically and you say, oh, this is like buying a little stock and I can buy protection against my other stock. So if you learn it from a base model and very simply, all you're doing is putting yourself in a better position. And you can certainly find that out by looking at some of the things that we talk about all the time on air here. And that's just how to protect your portfolio, because financial literacy for most people, you know, we don't have it, and we need to be more protected so we can work on our own portfolio and protect ourselves, or help our advisor protect us. Because at the end of the day, we know one thing for sure, right? The market will correct, but we want to avoid that, and we can avoid all the pain of a correction by learning some base tricks and options. And, you know, I'd be happy to answer any questions you have for me now, or I can, you know, more explain about the option model. I know we're running short on time, so.
Todd, so great to talk to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
And that was Todd Horowitz, chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com. All right, stay with.
And that was me with Kim Parley. I hope you enjoyed that. I think it was extremely informative. It's hard to get all those words out in a short period of time. But again, we've had the options portfolio webinar that I've done, which I will once again offer to you. If you'd like to email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org, I'll be happy to send it to you. And that'll take us through the end of the day. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. LibertyTalk.fm.